Welcome to the Heal Your Hunger Show, where we get to the heart of why you overeat and how to stop. If you struggle with food and weight like I did, welcome home. Welcome, everybody, to the Heal Your Hunger Show. So happy to have you here. It is a great day to be alive, and I'm super excited about today's talk because it comes right off the heels of something I've just gone through today, literally today. In fact, I couldn't even record this podcast earlier as I planned because I was in a slump. I was in a slump and I couldn't do it. So I'm feeling better today on account of actions that I took, and I finally was able to record this. So hot off the press of my slump. But anyway, before I get into the topic, I want to just tell you, if you're here for the first time, welcome. You know, I know what it's like to be really, really uncomfortable in your skin because your clothes don't fit. You've got rolls of fat where you used to not have them. You feel bloated. You feel uncomfortable. You don't feel sexy. I know what that feels like. I was 50 pounds overweight and really unhappy on account of it. I used to hold this roll of fat in my hand and from my tummy, and I'd imagine cutting it off. And I imagined getting some disease where I automatically lost weight because I, you know, couldn't lose weight on my own. I thought about going to the army where I'd be forced to exercise at boot camp. I mean, some pretty crazy thoughts, all because I was out of control of food and I hated my weight. I hated my body. So if that's you, you know, if you're in that space right now, you don't have to stay there. And I want to show you how to climb out. And that's what the Heal Your Hunger Show is all about. So stick with me here. Thanks for joining. And if you've been here before, welcome back. Thanks for coming back. If you have not yet taken the quiz to find out if you're an emotional eater or a food addict, you can go to healyourhunger.com and take the free quiz. It takes like 3 minutes, but you'll get a personalized score on where you are on that emotional eating spectrum. And please be sure to join us in the secret sauce group. So the secret sauce to end emotional eating is where you want to hang out. That's where this show is being recorded live today. So you can comment. I'll comment back, you know, after the show. It's just fun, and it's the best place to be if you want to get the latest news of Heal Your Hunger and free classes that I'm doing. And just fun things going on, and not to mention how to heal. So please show up there on Facebook, type in secret sauce and emotional eating, and join us. So on with the show. Today's show is about pulling yourself out of self-pity or a slump or a nosedive or the rabbit hole, whatever. It doesn't really matter what you call it. But we all go there, right? We all go there. And right now, especially in our world, there's a lot going on and there's a lot to get down about. And I, you know, I'm not somebody who's generally down. But today, you know, I've had a little bump in the road and it's been hard to pull out of a slump today. And so I thought, this is something I need to talk about. And if you relate, or if there's any comments, again, please share in the secret sauce group where I'm recording this live. So self-pity, such a terrible, terrible trait, isn't it? Nobody wants to admit they have it. Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's sadness for yourself because you think you have a lot of problems or have suffered a lot. Now, I don't know that I was in self-pity today, but I recently had the opportunity to put in for a talk, to give a talk, or to apply to be accepted to give a talk at a conference, and which is now going to be online. And I've put in 3 years in a row and not gotten accepted. Okay. And this is a talk, it's sort of like a speak-off type thing. And so three times I've written an application and pitched my talk, and three times I've been not accepted. Other people were accepted and I was not. So anytime I would go to this conference and I would see these talks by other people, I'd be like, why not me? Like, you know, that was good, but you know, mine wasn't a bad idea either, you know? So when the opportunity came around to put in for a talk again, I have to tell you, I didn't want to, and I wasn't self-pity. And I'm like, why should I? Like, I've been rejected three times. You know, I don't think I can handle it again. It's too depressing. And I put it off. I just put it off. And I thought, I don't want to do that. That's painful, which is a very, you know, typical reaction for an emotional eater to have. You know, I associate pain with rejection because it does bring up feelings of rejection when I'm rejected, of course. But I just thought, ouch, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to put myself through that again. So I avoided applying. But in my heart of hearts, I knew I should apply anyway. But it was so hard to bring myself to do that. Well, I ended up doing it at the 11th hour, actually past the deadline by about 4 hours. It was in the middle of the night, and I just did it. So I banged it out and I sent it in. And, you know, not thinking much but of, you know, my chances, but feeling really glad that I'd done it, right? So even though I didn't want to, I took positive action. I did it anyway, in spite of what my head was saying. Don't do that. Don't go near there. Danger, danger, rejection feelings. You know, you don't want to feel like a loser, all that nonsense. So I did it anyway. Lesson number one, take action. So I did it. And today I heard that I'm not sure. It said, congratulations, you've been accepted. So I think I'm accepted. The email was a little wonky, so I'm not sure exactly. I have to follow up with it, but I'm pretty sure I was accepted. So I was really happy about that today. But remember, I told you I was in a slump today. So it was really interesting to me because even though I've been in a slump today, I've taken good action. You know, I meditated, I prayed, I went for a bike ride. I did some writing on my computer, some emotional stuff I needed to get out. So I've taken good action. I ate my three meals, you know, so when in doubt, just put one foot in front of the other. That's an important thing for coming out of the slump. And today I got good news that I was accepted. And I thought, you know what? Thank God I didn't blow this day. Thank God, even though I felt crappy, even though I had some emotional stuff going on, you know, I had a little situation yesterday with somebody where they kind of got on their high horse and in my face about something. And so it really bummed me out. And today I've been kind of blue. But thankfully, I didn't throw the day away. I can't say I was terribly productive, but I didn't throw the day away. I didn't hurt myself with food. Praise God. I didn't react to my feelings of being blue with more self, you know, some self-destruction, which as emotional eaters, we tend to do, right? Like we're feeling crappy and then we eat and we feel crappier, or we feel lonely. So we isolate and then we feel lonelier. So some strange behaviors come from emotional eaters sometimes, totally irrational. So thankfully, you know, I did my day the best as I could. And then I got this new good news and it just sort of like helped me see, like you just put one foot in front of the other and you don't get involved in the results, you know. And Roy used to say to me, you know, my mentor, he used to say, you don't want to be in the results business. You want to be in the action business. It's all you're required to do. Just stay in action, but get out of the results. And that was so helpful to me. And that's what I did today. So I got that news. It was affirming to me that even though you don't feel like doing something, you do it anyway. I applied anyway and I was accepted. And I feel really happy about that. And glad I didn't listen to my head that said, don't go there. Uncomfortable feelings ahead. I'm so glad I didn't listen to that. And so much of overcoming emotional eating is about, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other and not reacting to your feelings, okay? And especially your thoughts, okay? Because our thoughts get scary. Our thoughts, you know, our ego's there to protect us, right? And it's trying to protect us, but it ends up imprisoning us. Now, if I'd listened to my head and I hadn't put that application in, I wouldn't have gotten a chance to speak. So, you know, I'm glad I didn't listen to my head. I'm glad I didn't heed those fears of uncomfortable feelings. So it's really, really important. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about self-pity because this comes up a lot for emotional eaters. You know, at least my clients who are on the path of healing, because a lot of times what comes up for them at first is, gosh, why do I have this problem? Why do I have this problem? Why do I have to address this problem? There's some resistance. Like at first we're just like, I want out of this. I want freedom. But then the fear comes up because it, you know, you have to walk through a lot of fear in order to break free. And so at first, some of my clients might be like, wait a minute, like, I don't want to do this. And like, why do I have to do this? And this is just a burden to me. I just want to be free. And I want to be like other people. I just want to eat like other people. I want to be normal like other people. Have you ever had those thoughts and feelings? Like you see Betty Lou over there and she's eating, you know, an ice cream sandwich and you're like, how can she do that? You know, and get away with it, right? We always see people as getting away with things, but you know, if they're eating something yummy and they're not 200 pounds. But the thing is, you know, that sense of why them and not me, like it's not fair. That's all part of that self-pity and that head trip that we often put ourselves on. You know, others can eat that and not gain a pound. Why not me? You know, why can they, you know, eat an ice cream sundae and walk away and not feel bad and not go buy, you know, a bag of chips and, you know, a bag of Hershey's Kisses on their way home? You know, why, what's wrong with me and why can't I be like them? Okay, those thoughts of self-pity around being an emotional eater do come up. And it's really important that we address this because that's a lot what is, that is a lot of what sends us back to eating is oftentimes when we're sort of forlorn and looking at other people who are eating and we think, I want to be like them. Okay. So this idea of, you know, poor me and Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a saying that I've heard, which is, pour me another drink. Okay. So, it's just that way with the food for us, right? But for us, it's, you know, pour me some more sugar, pour me some more carbs. But it's our thinking that leads us to that place. And so we really have to get a hold of our thoughts because this idea of, I want to be like Sally, I want to be like Betty Lou, you know, I want to be able to eat normally. We have to address that because that will drive us back to the food time and time again. Well, I'll tell you how I do it. You know, I have accepted that I'm an emotional eater. I'm an emotional eater and I will always have that ability or propensity for going overboard with food. Like it's a tension I live in and I don't crave going overboard with food by the grace of God today because of the work I've done and again, God's grace. But the thing is, I'm not cured either. So it's really important that I continue to ride herd on those thoughts when they get away from me and they start, you know, kind of ranting about wanting to be normal or wanting to eat what everybody else is eating. And so what I do is I say, I used up my coupons. You know, I say this to myself usually, but sometimes somebody offers me something super ooey gooey and chewy. I'm like, no thanks. I used up my coupons. And I love that saying because it's acknowledging to myself that, you know what, Trisha, you're not being deprived here. You've done your share of eating. Like you've eaten plenty of that ooey gooey and chewy. So don't go thinking poor me. Okay. You've used up your coupons. No is the final answer. Okay. So that helps me because it's true for one thing, you know, like I get nothing. I get no more candy coming to me. I get no more cake coming to me. I have no more ice cream coming to me. I've eaten so much of that stuff in my lifetime. And no mas, you know, no mas. I used up my coupon. So that's super helpful to me is just to accept. I'm an emotional eater. I've done more eating than your average person. It's not unfair that I'm not eating that stuff today because I know where it will lead me. I know where it will lead me and it will be painful. And I don't want to experience that kind of pain. I do not want that kind of pain in my life. So that helps me. And I just want to just really emphasize here that our thoughts are powerful and we have to talk our heads down. You know, I mean, oftentimes I will have these conversations with myself, you know, Trisha, you've had enough. Like that's you, you've eaten all that, that, you know, you've used up your coupons and that's super helpful. But I have to accept first that I'm not normal, you know, and that's a hard thing for people to accept, but look at the record. You know, I used to always sit in friendlies, ice cream with my friends when I was younger and they would eat, you know, a sandwich and fries and they would eat their sandwich and pick up their fries. My boyfriend does this as well. And, you know, I'm like, why would you pick your fries and why would you not eat every single fry, every single fried potato on that plate? You know, because to me, like, French fries are great. Like, they're one of the best foods ever. So I realized early on that I wasn't normal. And the sooner I accept that and work with it and take appropriate actions to overcome it, the better. If I spend all my time fighting it, being like, why me, why me, why me? I am in such deep doo-doo. Okay. And I really want to stress that. And that's the problem with self-pity, is it leads us down that negative dark hole that always leads to overeating. You know, there was a saying once that what you focus on grows. So if we keep thinking self-pitying thoughts, if we keep thinking poor me, like if I had let my thoughts take over of I'm not going to apply for that talk because I'm never going to be chosen. Nothing good ever happens to me. I always get rejected. Like if I had let my head really go there, I would have been sunk. And so we have to really pay attention to our thoughts, and what you focus on grows. Okay. So if you're focusing on the ways you've been wronged, if you're focusing on the ways that life is not fair, if you focus on the injustice in the world, and trust me, I know there's a lot of it, but if we focus on that, that's all we'll see, and it will grow into a big, hairy monster. And then we won't be able to find our way out, because that negativity and that darkness always leads to overeating, and overeating leads to more negativity and darkness. Have you noticed? Yeah, really dark. And so we have to ride herd on our thoughts. We have to always be watching those thoughts of self-pity, of life isn't fair, I've been wronged, this faction is doing me wrong, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, of course there's injustice in the world, but what we think on grows. You know, do we want that to be our entire focus in our life? And if we do, what is going to be the quality of our life? You know, Roy used to also say to me, he said, yeah, you know, self-pity is like quicksand. You wiggle your little toe in it and it will suck you all the way to hell. So, you know, it's a great analogy, right? It's a great analogy because it does. When you start thinking about how unfair life is, you know, and how we got the short end of the stick and how sad our tale of woe is, it will suck us all the way to hell and we won't be able to get back. So I really hope I'm driving this point home here. And if so, please comment in the comment section. Another thing that Roy used to say to me when I was really feeling sorry for myself, he'd go, let's go down to the county jail and tell those people how bad you have it. And that would snap me right out of it, because I'd be thinking, oh yeah, that would not go over very well. Like if I told them like what my problems are, they would want them in a second. And there's a saying, you know, that if everyone threw their problems in a ring, like we all stood in a circle and threw our problems into the center of the circle, you know, and we could take back any problems instead as a replacement, everybody would want their own problems back. And I love that because it's true. Like, I don't want somebody else's problems. I know these problems, at least. I know these problems, and they're not nearly as bad as the problems some other people have. And so realizing that, you know, getting to a place of gratitude for the kinds of problems I have. Like, my problems are pretty luxury, you know? It's usually like, I'm in the Northeast right now. It's usually, you know, like, gee, I don't want to be here too long. When it gets cold, I don't want to be here anymore. Like that's not a problem. Okay. I don't really consider that a problem ever, but I just mean my problems aren't anything compared to anybody sitting and being locked up in a jail right now. Nothing like it. I have good quality problems. And I'd rather have mine than a whole lot of other people's problems. So, and of course, Roy used to always say, all God's children got problems, which I love, because it's true. We all have issues. We all have stuff to work through. But if we all threw our problems into a ring, probably we'd rather have our own back. So I want to talk a little bit about gratitude, because this is another really important element of pulling out of a slump and pulling out of self-pity, because it's really all about perspective, isn't it? I mean, we all have it so much better than so many other people. And when we focus on that, remember what we focus on grows. When you focus on the gratitude of how good we have it, we always start feeling better. You know, there are two psychologists, Dr. Robert Emmons of the University of California, Davis, and Michael McCullough, Dr. Michael McCullough of the University of Miami. And they've done a lot of research on gratitude. And in one study, they ask all the participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. And what's really cool is that the way they do the study is one group wrote about things that they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. And a second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And then there's a third group that wrote about events that affected them during the week with no emphasis on them being positive or negative. So after 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. And they also exercised more and had fewer visits to the doctors than those who focused on their sources of aggravation. So that's a very good case in point, a great study that just really scientifically, you know, tells the story that when you focus on the positive things in your life, the good things that are happening, the gifts that you have, the blessings that you have, you feel better, you don't feel as sick, you have more energy, like to exercise. Isn't that amazing? And that's all from our thoughts. That's why pulling out of a slump, that's why pulling out of that rabbit hole of negative thinking is so, so important. And you know, one of my favorite sayings when I was early on in my recovery and my emotions were so big, they were so big and scary. One of my favorite sayings, and this is from the 12-step realm, is this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And when I heard that, I just thought that was so lovely. This too shall pass. Because in the moment I would get scared, but when I would say this too shall pass, it would calm me down and I'd realize I'm going to be okay. You know, I'd take a deep breath and then I'd be like, it's okay. This too shall pass. I'm not going to be in this moment forever. I'm not going to be in this pain forever. I'm not going to be in this negative situation forever. This too shall pass. And I found that so, so helpful. But as I talked about at the beginning, action is probably the best way to pull out of a slump and those thoughts of self-pity and why me and why is this happening to me and why don't I get to have hers and all that. So action is so, so important. Remember, I took action. No matter what my head was telling me, I applied for that speaking position and I got it, you know, and no matter what's going on with me and in between my ears, I do my meditation. I do my prayer and the prayer more than ever. I mean, when I'm really feeling down, I'm like, God, help me, just help me, which is the best, most universal prayer there is. Just help, you know, and I love giving it to God because I know God's got much better resources to solve my problems with. And so the more I can surrender, the more I can give it to Him, the better. You know, the more I am just like, God, take it. I don't know what to do with this. I know you do. That act of surrender alone is so, so powerful. You know, and thoughts are so powerful as I've talked about today. But you know, in my experience, you don't think your way into right actions. You act your way into right thinking. So remember, action is really the key. No matter where your head's at, take good, positive action. No matter how you're feeling, act your way out of it. Act your way out of, you know, stinking thinking. Take action. Do something positive. And when you do, you'll feel better. Pick up the phone, call somebody who's going through something tough and say, how are you doing? That action alone will get you out of your head. You know, take a warm bath. Go for a walk. Listen to music. Earlier today, I put my earbuds in and I danced. I listened to Lady Gaga and I danced. I boogied in my living room because I wanted to pull out of it. I had to take action. I had to do something that would change my state and it really helped. It helped. It was great. totally did it for like 5 minutes, but just, you know, just that action is so important. I can't sit around and dwell. What you think on grows. And so you better start, you know, getting into action, because it will change your thoughts and it will get you more focused on the positive. So I hope this has helped. These are just some of my tips, you know, and some of the beautiful things I've learned along the way on pulling out of a slump and sidestepping self-pity. Remember, if you wiggle your little toe in it, it'll grab you and suck you all the way to hell. And you don't want to do that. So just remember to start changing your thoughts. They say, move a muscle, change a thought. And that's been my experience as well. Move a muscle, change a thought. So hope this has been helpful. I love you so much. And you know, we're all in this together. You know, all God's children got problems. So it's not easy. None of this is easy. Life is not easy. You know, and right now we have a lot of stress going on and pressure is high. You know, the political climate is rough, you know, and we have a pandemic. So guess what? It's not easy. And yet our mindset will make all the difference. So I hope this is helpful. You can pull out of this. Don't live in that place of darkness. Treat yourself well, eat well, sleep, you know, get some sleep, take some action, go for a walk, meditate, pray, all the positive actions you can take, you know, and focus on gratitude, things you're grateful for. So thanks so much. I love you so much. It's always good to be with you. And these are some of the things that have helped me pull out of a slump today. And yeah, I hope it helps you too. Take care. I love you so much. Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to get free support, insider health info, exclusive invites to events, and more, visit healyourhunger.com.